I wonder what guided you to this church this evening. Maybe it was our parish Christmas card. Maybe it was a post on Facebook. Maybe it was a friend who invited you. I don't know. But I suspect it wasn't a star. The UK's a bit too cloudy for that mode of navigation. But whatever guided you here, I wonder what you expect to find. We know what the wise men expected to find because they turned up at a palace. They were expecting the king of the Jews to be surrounded by wealth and servants. I imagine they were surprised when they found Jesus lying in a feeding trough for animals. Now, something like a billion Christmas cards will be sent this year in the UK, and some of them will have a nativity scene on the front. You know the ones. And there's a stable with a star shining above it, the baby Jesus lying in a manger, with Mary and Joseph kneeling either side. There's a gap, I don't know what the collective noun is for a group of shepherds, but there's a gaggle of shepherds on one side, holding a lamb or two, and three kings on the other side, kneeling and holding out gifts. If you're lucky, there might even be an angel or two in the sky, singing or playing trumpets. And of course, we have Mary's donkey and the king's camels, and maybe a couple of oxen thrown in for good measure. Am I right? Do you recognise that scene? It's just a shame it isn't true, that it never happened. At least, it didn't happen like that. You see, first of all, in the Bible, there's no mention of a stable or a donkey or camels. Second, the shepherds and the angels were there, but there weren't three kings. For starters, they weren't kings, but more importantly, they came much later, about 2 years after Jesus was born. And the Bible doesn't say how many there were, only that they had three gifts. Now, before you call the local paper to complain that the vicar is ruining the wonder of Christmas, there's nothing wrong with nativity scenes. We own one at the vicarage. There's nothing wrong with sending cards with one of those nativity scenes, and I've sent dozens of them this year. There's nothing wrong with singing carols that poetically imagine the Christmas story. We've been singing several tonight. There's nothing wrong with this romanticised view of Jesus' birth, as long as we realise that's what it is. It's great to be filled with wonder at Christmas, to dress children up for school nativities. I've been at least three or four school nativities this week, here in church or in school. It's great to enjoy the beauty of art, as long as we don't lose sight of Jesus. You see, this is more than a fairy tale. This is more than a child's bedtime story, more than a school play. Behind it all lies Jesus, the Son of God, the one who was born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Picture that nativity scene I just described. Close your eyes if you want to, picture it in your mind's eye. Now rub out the wise men and their camels. Rub out the shepherds and their lambs. Rub out the angels singing in the sky. Rub out the stable. Rub out even Mary and Joseph, until all you're left with is a star in the sky shining down on Jesus. You see, the star wasn't shining on the stable, on anything, on anyone, except Jesus. The wise men followed the star not so they could be on a Christmas card, but because they wanted to see Jesus. He is the one that matters. It's nice and easy to keep the sweet little baby Jesus in his manger, literally packed away in a box up in the loft. That's where our nativity set lives all through the year. We pack it away at Christmas at the 6th of January, and up it goes into the loft for another 11 months to be brought out at Christmas time. It's easy to keep Jesus in a box in the loft for most of the year. But Jesus is for life, not just for Christmas. Jesus is the most wonderful, the most beautiful, the most precious gift God could ever have given us. His own Son come to live with us as one of us. Now, I don't know what kind of Christmas you are planning. Maybe it's going to be like the nativity scene I described, with so much going on, it's easy to ignore the most important person of all. I imagine you've all already done all your Christmas shopping. You've got all your food ready, all your presents ready. No? There's so much to do at Christmas. Maybe your Christmas is going to be like that nativity scene I described, with so much going on, it's easy to ignore the most important person of all. And if that's you, please can I encourage you to make space for Jesus? That doesn't mean ignoring your friends and family. It doesn't mean you can't have a nice Christmas dinner. It means making sure that all that doesn't squeeze out the most important person of all. For if you want him to, he will transform not only your Christmas, but your life as well. Because he came so that we, that's you and me, might have life. Jesus is for life, not just for Christmas. So although my prayer is that we might all make space for Jesus this Christmas, actually my main prayer is that we might all make space for Jesus in January, in February, that we might all learn to walk with him in the new and wonderful life he promises to all who believe in him. Because Jesus is for life, not just for Christmas.